From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Tim Chen had thought he'd done everything right. He started a company called NerdWallet, grew it quickly, hired a ton of smart people, and made a bunch of money. Hey, what could be wrong with any of that, right?
You know, I thought things were great. Our finance, we were crushing it in terms of delivering consumer value, in terms of traffic growth, in terms of revenue, in terms of profitability.
But just to see what he might be missing, to see, you know, where else he might be able to crush it even harder, Tim decided to do a 360 review. Which is to say, he had his direct reports and others at the company provide feedback on how he is as a leader and how they're feeling at the company. And the results were not what he expected.
I was kind of expecting good. And what came back was, wow, this is pretty bad.
Like, people weren't very happy. They thought NerdWallet wasn't executing well, despite its financial success. The place felt stale. And mind you, there are 50 people working at NerdWallet at this time. So that's 50 people who Tim thought were crushing it, who were actually sitting there thinking, this place is a mess.
I mean, so, you know, after getting feedback like that, of course, it's, you know, extremely shocking. And you have to take a minute to digest. So I took a day or two. One friend actually recommended that I read Principles by Ray Dalio, which at the time was a short PDF online. And the thing that really stuck with me that he talks about is that you can accomplish anything if you think about yourself as the basketball coach rather than, you know, a basketball player on the team, right? And I think that's kind of the analogy that I really started sticking to after that point. And so I started thinking through a lot of things, the culture of the company. What is the role of an executive versus an entrepreneur, which is a huge mindset shift. And what I came to is that the culture of the company is not something that can be defined by my aspirations of the culture of the company. It's really defined by my actions.
Going from aspirations to actions, what you think you want versus what you're actually doing to build the thing you want. It sounds like a big difference, but it's easy to overlook because you figure, well, hey, intention matters, right? I intend for everything to be great, so everything will be great. But the truth is, intention doesn't matter. Action matters. And action has gotten NerdWallet to a great place. It now brings in over $100 million in revenue a year and serves over 100 million Americans a year. They're growing quickly and now employ more than 360 people. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, we're going to hear what action really meant for Tim and NerdWallet. How did Tim turn around the culture at his company? How did he take action? We'll get into it all right after the break. The University of Utah David Eccles School of Business is the place for problem solvers. Earn your MBA from the university that educated the founders of JetBlue, Adobe, Marriott, Pixar, and more. The University of Utah's MBA is ranked number 2 in the U.S. for learning and entrepreneurship, and you can now earn it online in as little as 24 months. Gain business knowledge focused around innovation from their on-demand, mobile-optimized platform. To learn more and to receive an application fee waiver, visit utahmbaonline.com/problem solvers. Again, that is utahmbaonline.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So first, to understand where the problem at NerdWallet came from, you need to understand where Tim came from. Because Tim may sound like a thoughtful and humble guy now, but that is not the world from which he emerged.
I was an equity analyst. I would help people decide whether to buy or sell stocks.
And eventually, he moved into the world of hedge funds, where he became immersed in what he calls a dog-eat-dog world. His colleagues were all very competitive, very independent-minded people who were all out to compete and to make the most money possible and to be very, very confident in what they do.
If you're not willing to elbow other people out of the way and advocate for your ideas and have a huge amount of swagger and confidence that your investments are going to be right, like how else would you let a 25-year-old kid bet $100 million on an investment, right?
I mean, when you put it that way, the whole damn thing sounds stupid. But hey, what do I know? I don't have hedge fund money. Anyway, this is the world that shaped Tim's professional life. It's what he knew. he had to have just as much swagger and confidence. And, you know, Tim was doing pretty great until 2008 when the financial crisis hit and Tim lost his job. So now he's sitting around and looking for work. And his sister calls him and asks for his help picking a credit card. She's looking for a credit card. She just doesn't know which one is right for her. So Tim looks around and discovers that back then there really wasn't any good centralized information for a question like this. To shop for a card, someone just had to go to each bank's website and dig through their sales pitches. And it was hard to know what was really the best deal and what meant what. And anyway, Tim had time on his hands. So he just pulled all this information together, sifted through it, and created a spreadsheet with everything that his sister needed to know. And then that spreadsheet got forwarded to some friends and people were like, hey, this is super useful.
We quickly realized that it wasn't just credit cards that were hard to shop, but all financial products.
From this, in 2009, NerdWallet is born. NerdWallet becomes a website with all sorts of content on the best financial products for anyone, and eventually also becomes an app that helps people track their finances. And like I said at the start, NerdWallet took off very quickly. So let's flash forward to when NerdWallet is 4 years old and has 50 people on staff and is raking in lots of cash. And this now is when Tim decides it's time to do his 360 review. And it's when he discovers all those bad things about the company culture. So, okay, what is Tim going to do about this? When Tim and I talked, he had a whole list of his own failings as a leader just ready to read off to me. It was pretty amazing. I'm not sure that I've ever met someone who was like so organized and disciplined about their own challenges. So let's just go through them. Let's go through his list. All right, here's the first one.
I wasn't being open to this concept of relentless self-improvement, which is something that's printed on our wall today. No one's perfect. We all have work to do. It's on us to ask for candid feedback and improve on those things.
How do you do that? Well, going through a 360 review like Tim did is a pretty good first step, discovering that you're not actually providing the kind of leadership that your company needs. And actually, let's go a step further. If you need something like a 360 review to discover this stuff, then maybe the first problem is that you don't have a culture where you and everyone else is getting the feedback that they need.
It's really important for a culture of a company like ours where we're collaborating and we're trying to solve unfamiliar problems for us to be able to be candid with each other. Because if we can't do that, then the truth won't come out and we won't figure out what we need to do.
That's right. You won't know what you need to do if nobody's telling you. And take it from me, a guy in a leadership position, people will not tell you what's going wrong unless you really make an effort to learn it and to create an environment where they feel totally safe sharing their feelings. So, okay, that's a big one. Here's another one, which Tim really had to wrestle with internally.
The second huge shift is switching my thinking from being an entrepreneur to being an executive. Early on, you're an entrepreneur. You're just trying to get this thing to survive. You do whatever it takes. You leave a trail of dead bodies in your wake. It really doesn't matter. You're just trying to get the right answer as quickly as possible. And that's kind of the mindset you need. And you also need that swagger and that confidence to even be crazy enough to go and do this thing and to stick with it long enough for it to succeed, right? But once you become an executive, your job completely changes. You're the basketball coach now. Your product is no longer your company's product, but rather your product is the government by which the company operates. Your ego, that was super important as an entrepreneur to try something and stick with it, actually becomes an impediment. Because as an executive, you learn that it's not what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. That's a Mark Twain quote. But I find it extremely appropriate because any problem is solvable if you are just open to what other experts are telling you or hiring the right people.
Man, is that important. And also very necessary for a leader of a growing company. If you heard our episode a little while ago on how MailChimp's founder had to evolve as a leader, you'd heard him talk about a very similar thing. It's so common. And if you didn't hear that episode, you should go back and listen. It's great. People come into entrepreneurship feeling all scrappy. And then if they manage to build a big company, they often forget to put down that scrappiness and become the solid foundation upon which their growing team can feel safe standing on. It's a major challenge that takes a lot of real time and intention. And also, did you catch that thing Tim said at the very end, that you have to be open to hiring the right people? This is a big thing, because who you hire says a lot about you as a leader and whether you're still in the mode of being like the scrappy entrepreneur or if you've moved into the stable executive. Tim, at the beginning of NerdWallet, was in scrappy mode. And so he thought, well, you know, the first people he should hire are people like himself.
Out of our first 10 hires, I'd say maybe four of them were from hedge funds like, you know, Citadel, Bridgewater, places like that, people out of my social network. And in hindsight, we're all carbon copies of each other in terms of our strengths, our personalities, our behaviors, all super analytical.
Which is fair. Tim knows how he thinks, and so he brings on people who think like him. And then he even structured them in a way in which they were all familiar with from their hedge fund days. So everyone was siloed and focused on their own thing, and they were evaluated on performance. If they needed more resources, they would go straight to Tim and justify it. And that worked fine for a while, but as the company grew larger and more complex and there were more areas of business and larger teams to work with, Tim discovered the problem that he had created for himself.
I started sensing a lot of political behavior, right? Like people who were running one vertical were advocating for themselves and not saying, gosh, this other group is small, but they have a great opportunity and consumers really need that. So let's move the resources there, right? I wasn't seeing any of that. In fact, quite the opposite. At first, I blamed the person running the vertical. I said, gosh, what a political selfish person. Why are they doing this? And that nothing got better. And I realized over time that it was actually all my fault. If you don't set up the systems and processes the right way, if you're incentivizing people to compete against each other, if you're not setting an example or tone of collaboration in the right way, of course people are going to behave this way, whether they're naturally political or not.
And also importantly, he started hiring people with different qualities, people who were team builders, who came from different backgrounds and experiences and who brought different perspectives in. This is what created change, and it's what enabled him to create that culture of collaboration that he was talking about.
An entrepreneur really looks for people who spike in first principles problem solving. That's what we used to hire for across the board. Whereas like as we got bigger, an executive looks for people who spike in getting groups of people to work well together.
And then what do you do once you've got all those people working together? You build systems. That's something else that was missing from NerdWallet in those early days. Tim had just siloed everyone and asked them to make things. But what he didn't do was build a system so that everyone worked together and ideas were encouraged and tested and the best ideas were able to be elevated. And he needed that.
The other mindset shift that I had was that, you know, an entrepreneur thinks that process kills speed. And then an executive, once you have a larger organization, you're obsessed with which processes increase speed for your organization. Because you're trying to get a lot of people to work well together. And the only way you scale is if you make the organization drive the good ideas and the good execution on their own without you.
I asked Tim what he did on the ground level to implement all this stuff. And the answer is that it wasn't any one thing that happened at any one time. It was a slow and steady shift, bringing in new people and trying new styles of meetings and creating new organizational systems and so on. It was trial and error, and it was making sure his teams felt supported and introducing career development conversations so that everyone's progressing. And it was also constantly reevaluating himself and his process. In the old days, he says, he might have seen people wasting time on some non-essential project and he'd freak out and think they weren't doing something right, but now, instead, he would check himself. He'd think, okay, what system is in place that's creating this? And how can we improve the system so that people are more focused on the most impactful stuff? Now, remember, this process all started 6 years ago. And so I asked Tim, how long did it take until you felt that you'd fixed the problem? And he said this, which surprised me.
I think our culture is probably considered good now compared to most other companies in the Valley on a relative basis. But like a product manager, I'm never satisfied with where we are.
In other words, he's not ready to say that he fixed the problem. Maybe he'll never say that he fixed the problem.
There's certain things about culture, like, sure, people are collaborative, they're nice to each other, but candid at the same time, they're getting things done. That's great. But that's not really a high bar for high performance either. Because on top of that, you want high performance from the teams, you want excellence across the board. And to be completely frank, I don't think you ever get there, because as your company grows in size and as your goals and objectives change or become more ambitious over time, there's constant change required. In fact, I'd say the right culture for us at 10 people wasn't the right culture at 350, right? And I'd also say it depends on your industry. I wouldn't run a hedge fund this way. So I think that's something important to think about. But yeah, overall, I'm really happy with where we are today, but I'm still dissatisfied with where we could be.
I don't know if there are better, more honest words that can be said on a show like this. I'm happy where we are today, but I'm dissatisfied with where we could be. In entrepreneurship, you never fix a problem permanently. The best you can hope for is great improvement and setting yourself up for the next big change. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeiffer.com, JasonFeiffer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.